Welcome to episode 151 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. When it comes to selecting the kit we use, of course, immediate thoughts inevitably turn towards choosing the right cameras, lenses, bags, tripods and more for the job in hand. But for a photographer like me, i.e. someone who works on location rather than in a studio for the majority of the time, it surely makes sense to also give some proper thought towards the vehicle you'll be spending so much time in. And not just to the vehicle itself, but the way it's set up, ensuring that life on the road is as comfortable as it can be. So, in this week's show then, I'm discussing a few general points about my setup, which you might like to bear in mind too. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 151. It's coming up to 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And first up, a quick apology. You might hear me having to clear my throat a few times and having the odd sip of water. I've just spent the last hour and a half speaking in front of a group of kids, actually, talking about photography and film. And I've also just recorded another podcast, which is sort of centred around that. I won't say any more about that at the moment because you will have already heard that, or not, depending on when I release it as an episode. So, what I want to talk about right now is it's a piece of kit which, for a lot of people, don't immediately associate its importance for the photographer. And it won't be as important for some photographers as it might for others. And the item of kit that I am talking about is the car, or the van, or basically your vehicle. And if you think about it, having a vehicle is kind of a given as a working photographer, unless you have a studio that you don't need to travel to because maybe it's your home studio or it's in town and you can just get the bus or walk in or cycle or anything like that. For the majority, for the majority of photographers, the car is really quite important because you spend a lot of time in it. So, for example, I've just been up to a part of the country called Newbury, which for me is, it's about an hour and a quarter's drive, and that's before the traffic scuppers my plans. And so it stands to reason that you want to make your vehicle and your selection of vehicle as comfortable as it can be. Now, for some people, if you are the sort of photographer that doesn't need a lot of kit, if you could work with, say, one camera, one lens, one light, and possibly a tripod, if you knew that there wasn't going to be a problem with your kit, i.e. you don't have to take a second camera body, which I would always encourage people to have if you can, because what happens if your camera breaks and you're in the middle of a shoot? If you knew that that wouldn't be an issue, or you maybe were happy just to use the camera on your phone as a backup, you can travel very light, and so the vehicle you use can just be, and if you're, you know, on the main roads and going into sort of suburban areas, you can just have a very simple, small car setup, maybe a little hatchback or something, and that will do the job for you perfectly. And remember, as I always say, the kit has to be suitable for the task at hand. So, for example, there is no point me having a sports car, even if I wanted a sports car. There's no point me having a very low, sporty vehicle if I'm going to be going down country tracks and on muddy roads and leaving my vehicle in a field in a torrential downpour in the snow. There's no point. You know, who are you trying to impress? And there is something to be said about, you know, image, of course. So I don't have a sports car. But putting the choice of car aside, that is the starting point. So, for example, when I go on a trip and I'm camping, you know me, I like to keep things simple. There's no point taking stuff that either isn't going to be used or is just an unnecessary luxury. Yes, it's important to have luxuries to make your stay comfortable, but you don't need to go overboard. So when you're in your car, what are the important things? Now, you could take this to the extreme whereby people will put those kind of, I don't know exactly what you call them, but those kind of, they're like wooden beads that you, there's like a panel of them which you hang over your seat, and I think they just kind of, I don't know, do they massage your back or they kind of, I don't know, make your back more comfortable? I don't know quite how it works. I've never used them. But some people choose stuff like that. Some people will insist that the car they use, or the vehicle, it doesn't have to be a car, the vehicle they use, could be a van, has air conditioning. Yeah? For other people, it's not about the ambient comfort. It could be foot room, in the footwell. It could be how much space you've got in front of the steering wheel to the dash or the dashboard. A lot of people like to be closer to the windscreen or not. These are such small details, and it is a personal preference thing. But let's think about the general stuff that you can do to make your time in your car more comfortable. And bear in mind, I have trips where I go up country. I might be in the car for 2.5 hours or more. So the first thing that I would think about is power. If you've got things like iPads, tablets, your phone, for example, if you've got sat nav, it's an important thing. excuse me. You need to make sure that all those devices are well charged before you set off, but also that they are able to be charged whilst you're going along. Because if you're on a long journey and then you have to do, I know, lots of phone calls or emailing or keeping up with your social media, they can easily, the battery can be sapped quite easily, and you don't want to be in the middle of nowhere with, like, I don't know, 20% battery power. So, the vehicle that I have has two charging points in the main, I know what you call it, cabin, cockpit, what have you. I'm in a 4x4 at the moment, because of course I have to go down tracks and I need the clearance. But because it's a kind of a more rugged utility vehicle in that sense, it also has a power point in the back, so that, for example, I can charge batteries, I can charge cool boxes as well. We'll come to that in a minute, but cool boxes can be charged there, so you don't have to use those cool blocks. So the first thing I would say is think about your power requirements. And there's ways, you know, if you don't have as many sockets as that, you can get these adapters where you plug one in and they have maybe 4 or 5 extra points, and that's great. All you have to bear in mind is that you don't leave them in at a point where the car is not running, so you're likely to drain the battery. That would definitely not be a good thing. So, first things first, power. Of course, make sure all your levels are topped up with your water and oil and everything. That's a given, that's just motoring. The second thing is, being on the road, it might just be a half hour journey. It might be that you could be, as I am this morning, out for half the day. You know, making sure that, especially in very hot weather, I mean, it's only 18 degrees or thereabouts outside today, but we've had it a lot hotter. Make sure that you're comfortable. We've talked about air conditioning, but think about if you were to get caught in a traffic jam on a motorway, and you're in that jam for, say, 2 hours, and it's swelteringly hot, doesn't it make sense to make sure that you're well hydrated? So make sure that you've got plenty of fluids and nibbles, food to keep you going. So, for example, today, I haven't gone overboard. I haven't brought a cool box or anything, but I do have a bag with... what have I brought with me? I've brought 3.5 litres of water, and I had a couple of bananas, and often I'll have snack bars and things like that. I didn't this morning, but then on the way over, because there's some stuff happened before I set out this morning, which kind of took away a bit of time, I made myself a cup of tea, because I didn't have time to grab a cup of tea, and you've got to have a cup of tea to set you on the right right path for your day. I made myself not a flask of tea, but one of these portable mugs. It's a very good one. It's made by a company called Contigo, and the model is an Aria. And I did a review of this a while back, and I will link to it in the show notes because it's still a current model. It's brilliant. It's got an auto lock on it so that once you release the thumb-operated button, you can actually lock it and turn it upside down, and no fluid, no drink escapes. It's brilliant. So that is really good if I just want a quick cup of tea first thing. And then I've got water to keep me going. I've got the 1.5 litre, I think they call it a sports bottle. It's just a standard bottle like that you'd buy it when you buy a bottle of water from whatever manufacturer. It's got that flip up top, which for when I'm driving it's good because I don't have to unscrew the top. So that is good. That sits, it's in the middle of the console here, because I've got 2 cup holders, so that's really easy to get hold of, and I've got another one behind me if I need it. I've also got you can probably hear in the middle, between the 2 front seats, I've got a compartment that I can store stuff. I've got a glove box. There's plenty of space. So I've got plenty of water to keep me going. And like I say, just through all this talking, I've got a bit of a dry throat. So it's important to make sure that I can combat that a little bit. So just going around a bit of a tight roundabout here. Bear with me. There we go. So yeah, making sure, you can hear things rattling about, because I quickly grabbed a carrier bag. Usually I have a small rucksack, and because I was in a hurry, the carrier bag made an awful noise, so I decided just to take stuff out and let it roll around a bit, because the roads are mostly straight that I'm driving today. So, you've got your communications, shall we call it, your sat-nav, your phone, your iPads, all that sort of thing. You've got a way to charge it. You've got your sustenance, your food and your drink. what I tend to do is, if I've got a long journey and I need to be fairly smart, so maybe wearing a shirt, what I do is I'll wear just a t-shirt or something with whatever trousers, and I will have the shirt that I'm going to be wearing hanging up in the back or draped over the back seats, so that when I turn up I haven't got a big sweat mark all down the back and all the rest of it. I'm quite comfortable actually at the moment. And actually, just as an aside, I'm in the process of testing out a shirt, or a number of shirts, by Paramo. And you may have heard me talking about these already. They are the, I think it's the Katmai men's long sleeve shirt, and I'll link to this in the show notes. And by the time this goes live, the actual write up for the review may be live. But they're just really good. They're made of Paramo's Parameter A material, which basically wicks away moisture to keep you cool and dry quicker. And they are brilliant. They've really worked well. I've used them in the long spells of driving. I've been out on long days walking, and at events where I've got very hot, and they've worked really well. So it could even be that, you know, you think about the technical considerations of your kits, your cameras and lenses, but why not think about the clothes just to keep you comfortable when you're doing long stints of driving, just as you would if you're heading out on the hill and you were thinking about a waterproof coat, how that keeps rain and the elements off you. So a lot of people don't think about this sort of stuff, but it is important. So what else? We've got communications, power, food, drink, clothing. I would say that you always want to make sure that you've got some cash on you. A lot of people pay with a card, which is fine. But let's suppose, for whatever reason, and it's probably nothing to do with you, the card that you're expecting to pay on, say for petrol, or what have you, just doesn't work. It could be that you've got, let me think, you've made some big expenses and the bank has decided, oh, this is a bit of unusual, we're going to put a block on the card. That sometimes happens. Sorry, if I seem a little bit distracted, there was another speed camera which was sort of wasn't very well indicated as a speed van, and I'm not speeding, but you know, it's kind of making me sort of just check out what's ahead of me. So yeah, your cards may not work. It could be that the magnetic strip on it, for example, has got corrupted. There are all these things, and it's completely out of your control. So what I do, for example, is, say I need to get some petrol. Say, you know, like now I've got half a tank or so. Say I know that along the way I'm going to need to get some more fuel. I will think, okay, I'm going to spend £30 or £40. I will make sure that for that journey, I have £30 or £40 in cash in my pocket, so that if the card, for whatever reason, wouldn't go through, there's not the embarrassment. You've still got the money to pay. It's also good to have cash for parking and for you know, buying stuff on the go. You know, if you suddenly decide you need some more batteries because you forgot them, or you need some more food or something. When it comes to the winter months, there are different considerations. So, obviously you've got to make sure that you're warm. If temperatures are plummeting, you want to make sure that you've got maybe a down jacket or at least a couple of jumpers to keep you warm. It's always worth, I think, even if it's just a local trip and the roads, you know, like the back of your hand, and you don't expect any untoward problems, it's always worth having a flask of hot water and some tea bags or some sachets of hot chocolate, which you can easily get in the supermarket, or make yourself a flask of tea or coffee, just in case your car breaks down or you get stuck in a queue. There's an area that I'm going to be driving through probably in about 15 minutes, and in that area I had to drive through that a couple of winters ago, and I, you know, it's such a short little stretch of road, but it took me an hour and a half to go less than half a mile or less than two-thirds of a mile. It was ridiculous. There wasn't an issue because where I was going was quite close and it was all fine. We'd had a cup of tea before we set out. But if that was me heading out on an assignment or heading back from an assignment, I would make sure that I had a flask of some sort of a hot beverage, tea, coffee, water, and some sachets of chocolate. Just checking this roundabout. There we go. Make sure that you've got some sort of nibbles. It could be boiled sweets for energy, it could be chocolate. If you're into things like crisps, you know, you could go for that, biscuits. Or if you're being a bit more sensible, you could have protein bars if you're into making your own. It's a good thing to do is make your own protein or like granola bars. Saves a lot of money. And if you're like me and you eat a lot, just generally, you can be a bit smug on the fact that you haven't spent a load of money on overpriced food, which actually isn't that good for you because it's got loads of sugar and stuff in it. Anyway, that's probably another podcast somewhere along the way. So, in the winter, you've got your clothes and you've got your food and drink. But why not set yourself up what some people would call a survival kit? Now, that sounds very ornate, very dramatic, but what it boils down to is, if you were stuck and it was the middle of the night and you had to wait an hour for someone to come and recovery vehicle or something, and it, you know, gets to like -2, -3, -4, or if you're the sort of country where you do get very cold winters, -15 and all that sort of thing, why not, in the back of your car, have a grab bag, as some people call it, or an emergency bag, which has, or a box or a crate that has some thermal clothes, some gloves and hats as well, base layers maybe. You can get down jackets or warm jackets that take up no space at all because they fold up into their own pocket or stuff sack. But then put in a sleeping bag. You can go to a local supermarket and get a basic sleeping bag for, you know, £10, £20, whatever, that even if it got stolen or trashed or, you know, you forgot about it and it got mould on it or something, it wouldn't break the bank just to get rid of it. You know, you should always look after your kit, but if it ended up in a situation like that, you wouldn't feel too hard done by if you had to just throw it away. So, what else might you put in with that? Well, if you are wanting to go one stage further and you think that you're going to be in a position whereby you're not going to make it home that night and you're nowhere near a city or somewhere that's got a hotel or a motel or a bed and breakfast or something. If you are the if you are the hardy type, why not think about, if you've got the kit, how you might stay in your vehicle overnight. So, for example, I might bring my jet boil stove or a little camping stove with some basic rations, maybe some sort of boil-in-the-bag stuff or something that doesn't need too much cooking. And bear in mind, if you're... Ideally, you'd do it outside, but if you are in a vehicle, it's only the same as being in a camper van. Make sure that you're operating that stove safely and open a window a little bit so that you don't suffer the effects of carbon monoxide and other dangerous gases. You know, you can be very comfortable in all conditions just with a little bit of forethought in your vehicle. Now, taking things right back to basics, even for a day trip, in the back of my car, I've got a couple of compartments which have, on one side, a high-vis vest, so that if I do break down, I can wear that so people can see me in their headlights or what have you. I can also sling it over over the back of the car or something, or if there's a bollard, I can put it over to create a bit more of an awareness and give myself a bit of space so cars have to go around me. But then I also have in the back of the car a number of lengths of rope. Nothing special. I think the stuff that's in there at the moment is... Some of it is just like utility rope that you get in a hardware store, and some of it I think is the sort of blue nylon rope that you get from IKEA. I think on one occasion I had bought some stuff in IKEA, needed to put it on the roof or something, and I didn't have anything with me, so I just went back in and bought some rope, and I thought, do you know what, I'm going to leave that in the car, it's not taking up too much space. So that's that. But then on the other side, I've got a first aid kit. And it's perfect. It fits in a little wash bag that was an old wash bag that we had indoors that I had when I, you know, would just go away overnight and what have you. That's the perfect size to go in there. So in that, it's just the basic things like a selection of plasters, bandages, some alcohol rub, some tweezers, some little scissors to cut plasters or bits of thread or whatever it might be. And it's just there to be used. Now, there is, you know, often that stuff will sit there and never be used for months or even years. And just keep an eye on it. If there's stuff that goes out of date, think about updating it periodically. But... With my car, for example, if I need to, I can take the seats right out, the back seats, the passenger seats. Obviously, if I'm on the road and what have you, that's really not an option, but I can fold them forward a couple of times. I can actually sit in a, or lie in a comfortable fetal position. I can sleep in the back of my car with the seats pushed forward. I can actually stretch out a bit more if the seats weren't there. Actually, maybe, even with them folded forward, I must try that. But, you know, there are options. So the point is, and I'll wrap things up because I'm nearly back to base. Whatever the situations, using your vehicle as a rolling base, a home away from home, and I'm sure... There are tips that a lot of you do maybe many more miles than I do throughout the year in a completely unrelated field. You might be a rep for a company, or you might have to go and travel to various offices around the country. You've probably got what we might call trade secrets that make your time in the car more comfortable. And I'm sure there will be others which I have forgotten. And I'll think of it just the moment I finish recording. You know, that just make your stay in that car comfortable. So, you know, if I'm gone up to a show or an exhibition or a meeting, you'll often hear me talking to you on the way back. Now, of course, I take my audio recorder so I can record podcasts, but take your iPhone. Have a way to plug your iPhone into the stereo, or have an adapter, or anything like that. I find that, and that's something I've got to do actually, and change my system, but say I'm on the road for an hour, like now I've just recorded two podcasts and got some thoughts together, and that's good use of my time. Time that otherwise I'd just be sat there driving. I am a big fan of using that time to listen to podcasts, whether that's podcasts about developing my business, developing my activities, technical stuff about techniques or kits, other photographers, other creatives, friends who have got podcasts that I just am interested in. You know, use your time wisely and make sure that that time is as comfortable as possible. I think that has covered what I would consider some of the basics. So what I would suggest, and what I would request actually, is in the show notes, the show notes page for this episode, can you please go onto there and just leave a comment? It can just be two or three words, if you like. It could be, for example, I don't know. Oops, I'm just parking up now. Bear with me. Don't really want to reverse into the car behind. There we go. Lovely. So, yeah, please go into the show notes and leave a comment. And it could just be, iPhone adapter that allows you to listen to stuff through your stereos. Or it could just be games console, if that's your thing. DVD player. Whatever it might be that makes your time in your vehicle more comfortable. It could be sun visors, for example. So like today, it's a really bright day. I've been okay just with the regular visors that come down, you know, above the driver's position. But if you are driving back later in the day and the sun is low in the sky, especially in the winter when it's very low in the sky, and you're in open country so that the sun is streaming in through the car, is it that you put up a couple of like sun visors, like the ones that you have for kids, you know, it stops the light really coming in. Do you put those up? Things like that. I find it quite interesting, because what it'll do is it'll give us, you know, like a rolling list of options. It'd be quite interesting, I think, to see what how different people personalise their vehicles. In the same way that taking a portable first aid kit or portable survival kit that easily slips into a top pocket in a tobacco tin in your rucksack, there's many ways to tailor that, and that's something that I've been meaning to do for ages and put an article together about my tin. And that hopefully is something that I'll try to do before this goes live. So hopefully check the show notes and you'll see that there's a link to an article that I've written about what's in my personal first aid kit that goes in my rucksack. So again, something a little bit different. I hope that's been of interest. Please, please, please do get involved. I really want to hear, just because I'm interested, you know, and I know that it'll help other people. I'd love to hear what other items you would consider essential for your mobile office, your home away from home. If you're in a camper van, brilliant, tell me about that, because I've been researching and talking to people for features about mobile homes and camper vans. I'd love to hear how you make one of those your base on the road. That'd be excellent, that'd be perfect. Anyway, food for thought, one of those. I hope you've enjoyed that, but for now, I will leave it there.
In the coming coming months, as summer gives way to the cooler weather of autumn and winter, I'll also be following up on this topic again, discussing more specific additional items to think about when kitting out your vehicle. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.